Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Welcome to the Living Free Show on 3CR Community Radio 855 kHz on your AM dial. I'm Anne, and I'd like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which 3CR transmits people-powered radio. We'd like to pay our respects to elders past and present and to acknowledge that the material and spiritual connection of Aboriginal people to this land was stolen from them. Each week on the Living Free Show, we showcase one of the many programs that assist in recovery from drug, alcohol, gambling, food and other addictions. Our guests share their recovery stories and highlight that shared experience saves lives. Before we start, I'd like to remind you that the Living Free Show may involve discussion of topics such as suicide, mental illness, self-harm and family violence. Please practice self-care and care of others when listening. Today in the studio, I am delighted to be joined by Di. Di is zooming in from Adelaide today. She is a member of Al-Anon Family Groups, which is a fellowship of people who've been affected by another person's alcoholism and who practice the 12 steps themselves. And just for Di's been on the show already, so you can go back in our podcasts and you'll hear the podcast of Di telling her story along with Bill. As Di has just said to me, it's been a lot of water under the bridge since then. But rather than tell the whole story again, I thought we might start off with Di's general story and then maybe look at how we can apply the 12 steps because, as I said before, Al-Anon members also practice the 12 steps. And I think that's something that some people might not be so strongly aware of. So welcome, Di.
Thank you so much, Anne. It's a pleasure.
Do you think you could tell your whole story in 2 minutes? Just a little challenge for you.
Yes, thank you very much. Okay, here goes. Mm-hmm. I was born into a family as the eldest of 8 children. There were 7 girls and then the boy was last, parents who were from very dysfunctional families. And my mother did not value girls. All she wanted was a boy. So as the years went on, I grew up with receiving the very strong message that I had to be a good girl. I was given a lot of responsibility. I was deeply sensitive, and I was destined to, even though there was no alcoholic drinking in my family, I was destined to meet and marry a person from a similar background, similar trauma, and I won't go into that yet. And I found Al-Anon in a state of desperation when I had a 3-month-old baby and thought my world had ended. So many years later, I don't say how long I've been around, it's just a day at a time. And I have become a day at a time again, the person I can like, a person I can live with. I have a manageable, contented life with moments of happiness. And in the main, my relationships are very satisfying and loving.
Wow.
And I know without Al-Anon, I would not have those relationships. Thank you, Anne.
Well done. That was exactly 2 minutes. That covered a lot. So I'm going to ask
Even
you.
the ears and the arms.
So I want to take you back a bit to some of the things you said there. You said your mother didn't value girls, hence the seven girls waiting for the boy. How did that, I imagine that impacted you very much being the eldest daughter. Can you talk to me a little bit about what that looked like, sounded like, felt like?
I liken my growing up with our parents, and especially my mother, because my father was a very quiet, kind, gentle person, but our mother had rages, and I was physically and verbally abused by her. And I remember clearly conversations with my siblings that we all said we're never going to be like mum. And I, with a role model like that, I was destined to internalize her rage and her criticism and anger, and grew up hating our mother. And I know today that that was deep grief, because I didn't have the mother I wanted and needed, and feeling very much unloved, but with those the burden of the responsibility of looking after the little ones, being a good girl, doing the right thing, and following a chosen path for me in life with a caring career,
You
which
went into a
was,
caring
again,
profession.
it was a female career.
Yeah.
And finally, the boy came along. One of my sisters has told me that one day she said to our mother, "Mum, am I adopted?" And she said, "Why would I adopt you? You're only a girl."
Goodness gracious.
Yes. So that attitude was all-encompassing.
Well, when you talk about physical and verbal abuse, that's a recipe, especially in a sensitive person who's trying to do the right thing. It's so unjust. So that's a recipe for rage in yourself. That I would say is how the rage gets passed on, right? So you'd be, and then so you've got your own rage. Can you take us to the point now that you've got a 3-month-old baby and you're desperate? What was going on for you at that point?
I was deeply angry, and I blamed myself for getting into this so-called situation. Why didn't I see? Why didn't I know? We'd been married for 13 years at that stage. I was too afraid to have a baby because I was convinced that I would turn into my mother with my own child. And I firmly believe that my direction in life was decided by my higher power, and it was my higher power's will that I felt that desperation, and that led me into Al-Anon, which I had heard about 5 years beforehand from a work colleague friend, and she must have recognised in me that I was an adult child. I thought it didn't apply to me, but when the time came, I knew exactly where to go, but I was deeply, deeply angry.
Were you living with an alcoholic at that point? Was your husband, so you'd married an alcoholic?
That was the man who I had partnered with. And I realised one day when I was sitting with the baby, very unhappy, not knowing what was wrong, and an avid ABC radio listener, there was a program on the radio about alcoholism. And finally the penny dropped, and the bottom of my world fell out, because I thought, what am I going to do with this baby and what's going to become of my life? And I had the answer. It was not the answer I wanted, that's for sure.
Can you talk a little bit about how that alcoholism looked? What were you dealing with that husband around that time?
I can see now that he was jealous of the attention that I was giving to the baby. He was not the focus any longer. We'd been married 13 years out of choice before we had this child. And I thought that that was, have a child and things will get better. And, of course, it doesn't. Mm. It gets worse. He was drinking. He was complaining. He was angry with me. He was demanding. Nothing I did was right. So I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what it was. And when the answer came to me, it was devastating.
Tell me why it was devastating. So you're saying you're feeling devastated because you've heard a radio program that's saying go to the self-help group. Is that what it is?
Didn't. It was just talking about alcoholism, and that gave me the answer of what was happening in my home. And
You didn't want to admit that you had an alcoholic as a husband?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was the deep shame of understanding what was happening in my home. And my father had been labelled an alcoholic, even though I had never seen him drunk. Mm-hmm. And that shame about that, what I know now is a sickness, pervaded the whole family. And I had lived with shame and never spoke about my husband. And now here was about my father, sorry, and here was history repeating itself. And I thought I was the only one in the world.
And you said you blamed yourself. Did you feel you should have known better or something?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, because growing up in an atmosphere where there was no control over anything and my mother's rages were so unpredictable, I needed to be in charge and in control. And why didn't I see that this situation before I even got married? You know, I had to have a crystal ball.
Mm-hmm. So it's worth pointing out to the audience here that an adult, being the adult child of an alcoholic, is a little bit different from the impact of it's a little bit different in some ways to being married to an alcoholic, say. And one of the things that they say in another fellowship, the Adult Children of Alcoholics Fellowship, which also practices the 12 steps, is that adult children of alcoholics judge themselves without mercy. Always remember that. And that sounds to me like the kind of thing you're talking about.
Ah, thank you. Yes, I was deeply self-excoriating.
Mm-hmm. I think it's common to all people in adult who are adult children of alcoholics. Or many people. You shouldn't say all. We will have a short break, Di, and we'll come back. And I might talk a little bit. We might talk a little bit more about that.
Is drinking costing you more than money? Alcoholics Anonymous provides a free and anonymous recovery service to anyone who wants to call it quits. Join millions of other alcoholics worldwide and take your first brave steps towards a new beginning. There are thousands of AA meetings happening every week across Australia. If you'd like to find your closest meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous or have any questions regarding this tried and tested treatment for alcoholism, call 1-300-AA-AA-AA. That's 1-300-22-22-22 or visit aa.org.au.
This community service announcement is sponsored by Alcoholics Anonymous.
Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio. 855 AM on your dial.
And on 3CR digital and streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all.
This is a Living Free show on 3CR 855 kHz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. If you would like to listen to one of our many podcasts, then you can find us on your preferred podcast platform or just Google 3CR Living Free and check out our website. You can also contact us via phone or email. Today my guest is Di and we're chatting about growing up with a raging mother and also marrying an alcoholic. We were chatting just before the break about the particular problems that are sometimes faced by adult children of alcoholics. And Di has volunteered to tell us what they are because they're listed in a book that she happens to have on her lap. Di.
Thank you, Anne. This is publication from Al-Anon Family Groups, and it's called From Survival to Recovery. And that, just in that title, it describes the effect that Al-Anon has had on my life. I'll just read a little bit before going into a set of questions that describe the learned patterns of behaviour and dysfunction that that I was taught from birth and through no fault of my own, learn these dysfunctional habits. Recovery can begin when we recognise that someone else's drinking has affected us. How can we tell? We have found that the answers in the following questions from the Al-Anon leaflet, Did You Grow Up With a Problem Drinker, helped us decide. They may help you too. 1. Do you constantly seek approval and affirmation? 2. Do you fail to recognise your accomplishments? 3. Do you fear criticism? 4. Do you overextend yourself? And I'll jump to number 6 because that's one that affected me. Do you have a need for perfection?
Do you want to talk about
7.
That? Oh, no, go on, sorry.
Yes, I will speak about that because it's funny. I was just thinking this morning, I'm the eldest in the family, which means I'm top dog, so to speak, and number one. And that fact will never change. My next sister down has always been very, very competitive. And to my mind, it's because she's trying to jump up and down and say, look at me, look at me. I don't want you to be number one. I want you to be number one. But because I'm number one, I always felt the need for doing something perfectly. I did very well at school, very well in my chosen profession, but I never achieved top of the class. I would get very close, like second, and I always felt disappointed with my efforts. I coulda, shoulda, woulda done better. But today I can make a mistake and laugh it off. I'm a knitter. I can look at something that's further down in my in the product that I'm knitting. Sometimes I can let that mistake go, but if it's a drop stitch, I have to pick it up and patch it and repair it. But I don't have to be a neat freak anymore. I was always had a terminal case of needing to be early. Today I'm much more relaxed about that. It was a tremendous amount of pressure to do the right thing, be good, be on time, be perfect, take responsibility, say and do the right thing. And so I was highly anxious. I internalised my anger towards my mother. I remember when I was growing up feeling very cynical. I was only a young child. And I understood instinctively that she was a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. She was a street angel and a house devil.
Mm-hmm.
And her physical and verbal abuse to me has led me, it's gone through all my life.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very frightened of angry people.
Mm-hmm.
It led me to needing love in my life, and I looked for it in all the wrong places. I was sexually assaulted and raped when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought I was getting attention, and that's what I needed. That's what I thought I needed. Thankfully, I've since taken steps to deal with that and have had a lot of outside help. Expert outside help. It's been very helpful.
You explained then how it works, that once you're traumatized, things can compound themselves. You know, you're going to, it's a family disease, right? And it's going to progress in the other members of the family in the same way that it progresses in the alcoholic. And so other problems are going to arise for you. And sometimes Al-Anon's not what's required for those problems. I'll give some information shortly about sexual assault and rape. So you talked about the freedom that comes when you let go of your perfectionism. You mentioned the word freedom. Can you talk about the way that perfection manifests in relationships and trying to get control and power in relationships?
I gave away all my power to my then husband. I allowed him to be in charge and in control, and whatever he said, I did, trying to please him. I understand now that he recognised in me that I was pliable and malleable, and he could mould me into what he wanted, and that was very much the case. I agreed with everything that he said and did.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had learned in my growing up not to disagree, not to question my mother. It was very dangerous
mm-hmm.
to question her because she was so insecure. She hadn't had the emotional upbringing to be able to give away any living skills to me and all of my siblings. And neither had my father, and that's why they paired up. So I was very good at my mother gave me the physical skills of knowing how to make a home, but none of the emotional skills were passed on by all of my both of my parents, so that I understood what life was all about. I was in a hurry to grow up. I took great pride in appearing older than I looked, because I just wanted to be mature. And there was a wonderful reading in one of our daily readers yesterday about signs of maturity, and it was quite an extensive list, and I had none of those skills because of my growing up. And the disease of alcoholism is the only disease that tells the sufferer they're not sick. And my then husband was focusing on the bottle and the alcohol. He was obsessed. He had a compulsion. And I was obsessed with him and with the hatred that I felt for my mother. And of all of my siblings, it shattered our family. We were not just emotionally but physically. We were spread from Darwin to Perth to Sydney to Queensland to Melbourne and South Australia. There was no feeling of connection and love between us, and any slight that had occurred between personalities, that was it, finished, cut off, black and white. And that is a feature in families affected by alcoholism. It's the only way to deal with those emotional upsets is just break off communication.
It's a disease of isolation, they say, isn't it?
Yes, and relationships.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's and that's you. It's exactly what you meant when you said having no skills and no maturity. Like, a mature person can might have the skills to navigate disagreements and conflicts.
Yes.
But in an alcoholic situation, it's just sometimes just too painful, and as you say, too dangerous. And to do that without the tools. So going back to step one, so I would say
that we could be here all day, Anne.
We could be, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we talk about. So we talk about our life becoming unmanageable. So I'm just got the image of you with this rage towards your mum, an alcoholic that's trying to control you, that you're trying to please, and you got this new baby. How did you navigate the desire to please him and then the need to meet the needs of your baby?
Well, it's a bit of a mystery today. It was a day at a time, really, a minute at a time sometimes. I was intensely furious, absolutely adored being a mother, and I understand now that it was my higher power who changed my mind about being a mother, because I always swore that I would never have a baby. I didn't want to impose on a child what my mother had done to me. And I could see that history would repeat, but I went ahead, higher power changed my mind. And I had this baby, and that's how I found Al-Anon. And I know that, or I believe that was my higher power's will for me. It was, it took me 6 weeks after I realised what the problem and what the answer to that problem was. I rang AA in the town in which I was living and said, "Where's an Al-Anon meeting?" And it took me 6 weeks to gather up the courage to go. And I rang an Al-Anon member to let them know that I was coming. And she met me out the front of the hall. And I went in to be greeted with all these happy people. I didn't know what I'd come across. And I was welcomed. And, of course, having a baby, it was a delight for them. And but I just cried. It was I knew that this was the answer that I did not want in my life, and it was either come to Al-Anon or run away. And I couldn't run away because I had nowhere to live and no money and nothing, no internal resources to be able to do that. So I went along to that meeting, and my head was so full of distress and despair that I walked out of that meeting and I could not remember a thing. But I just knew that I needed to keep coming back, because now I can be grateful up to a certain point that I had the mother I did, because without that motivation, I would not have continued for all the years that I have, because I was so fearful of turning into her, and I wanted to bring her up in a loving family, the complete opposite of what I had experienced. So that was my motivation.
Your fear,
yes, and the need to learn how to love her, because I never felt love from my mother. And but I needed how to love myself first. And yes, that old saying is true. You can't love someone else until you love yourself. If you don't have it to give it away, how can it happen? And so that's what I learned. But it was not going to happen overnight. All of those habits were so deeply entrenched in my brain that that's why I was a slow learner. I'd spent a lifetime embedding those habits. And so it took many years of practice, and more practice, which is what the steps say.
Let's have a break and come back to that daily practice that you you follow. So this is a Living Free show on 3CR Digital Radio and live streaming on 3cr.org.au/streaming. Today I'm chatting to Di about recovery from the effects of alcoholism. I'll give you the number to call if you are affected by sexual assault or violence or in danger of that. Or even in, you know, troubled by historical experiences of that, 1-800-RESPECT or 1-800-737-732, or you can go to 1-800-RESPECT.org.au, and they will put you in the direction of domestic, family, or sexual violence support. Because as we said before, Di, Al-Anon doesn't solve every problem. Sometimes we need specialised help for specialised issues.
3CR is one of a kind. We have 400 volunteers and cover an incredible array of programming content.
From special broadcast events on Invasion Day or Trans Day of Visibility to any of our 120 weekly shows, 3CR has got your radical radio listening covered.
Subscribe to 3CR at 3cr.org.au and support independent, community-owned media, free of commercial influence and government bias.
Help to keep 3CR unique by becoming a subscriber today.
Di, you talked about just before the break about coming from a family where there were no skills, having your ways of coping basically hardwired into your brain, to use a computer term, and now you want to talk about the daily practices that you've learned to somewhat undo all of that and change the way you relate to yourself and to other people. So can you talk about that a bit, please?
There are so many tools for living that are available through the program of Al-Anon, which is based on the 12 steps and traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. I found it really hard to be able to retain these new patterns of behaviour. So it was the Al-Anon literature that helped me, at starting off with the slogans. And I think politically, this over the years, there's been a lot of talk about slogans, but these are Al-Anon slogans that have helped me, especially to let go of the need for control. And mm-hmm. all of our slogans do that. A day at a time helped me to stop living in the past, let go of tomorrow, because I was living in yesterday and fearing tomorrow. So I'd get back to now. Where are my hands now? What am I doing? I'm washing the dishes. Okay. And live and let live. Stop obsessing about family members, and especially my husband. Attitude of gratitude. Gratitude is not positivity and optimism. Gratitude is something completely different. I may have had chaos happening around me, conflict with my husband, with my mother, but I could always find the good in what was occurring, and that helped me to get my head out of negativity. Today I've got radar for negativity. It's like a third eye. I can hear negativity in people, and it's very unpleasant and unattractive, and I'm very, very grateful to be able to feel gratitude for some little thing in a negative situation.
Can you do that in the moment, Di? Can you do it in the moment? Can you give an example of that?
I am very blessed to be living here in Adelaide. I have my sister, one of my sisters here, and one of my daughters. And my daughter has had her first baby. This beautiful little baby is 4.5 months old now. Oh. She has her first cold. Now, I was to go out to see them today, now. But she's not well, and I am of an age now where I get sick quickly and I recover very, very slowly. I've never had COVID, as mm-hmm. far as I know, because of all the precautions that I've taken. And so I guard my health very carefully. But the good thing is, Anne, that I've been able to spend time with you this morning to do this recording, and I might have a video call with my daughter later on this afternoon, and I am now in my stage of recovery where I want to and need to give back to Al-Anon because my life is completely unrecognisable now with all the things I've done, all the decisions that I've made, all the changes that I've made in my life because of the program. And I believe Al-Anon is all about change, changing everything. But if I looked at all the change when I first came in that was needed for me to make my life livable and manageable, it would be overwhelming and I would just give up.
Mm.
So it's just that's where living my life a day at a time has helped so much. So attitude of gratitude for mm-hmm. me, it's now an automatic response and a thought
mm-hmm.
because I've been open and willing to change. And sadly, that's I think that's why a lot of newcomers come in and perhaps don't come back because it's just too hard. It is very, very hard to remain committed to mm-hmm. change and recovery on a daily basis. But my desperation when I first came in was so overwhelming. That's what I needed to stay motivated.
Mm-hmm. So what helps us when it gets hard? What sort of say got hard for you next week because you got triggered off or, you know, something came up for you? What would help you to keep going?
Well, something like that has happened just in the last week for me with a conflict that has come up with my sister and a disagreement. And she has shown to me that she's internalised some of our mother's behaviour, and her behaviour to me was completely unacceptable. It was exactly the same as our mother. We've just been communicating by email, but there's been no back and forth. She emailed me once, I replied once and said I will not engage in back and forth. I know what is acceptable behaviour to me now, and I know how to put in boundaries. I know how to put those boundaries in loving words. I understand now about unconditional love, but love is not enough. I do not need and I will not accept unacceptable behaviour. I love my sister unconditionally, but I called out her behaviour and said that I am always here for you when you need a shoulder to cry on and someone to talk things through. But I know I have compassion for her. She has, she does not have those skills of understanding herself. She probably hasn't, it probably scared her when she was raging
mm-hmm.
at me. And I needed to look at myself and look at my part in what happened between us. And that takes a lot of self knowledge, self-awareness and self-acceptance. And I have found, I have come to know myself through step four, which is searching inventory of the aspects of my personality, some that I love and some that I'm not proud of. And it's only through that self-knowledge that I can live a manageable, fulfilling life. Thank you.
And what you just described there was, that just sums up the whole shift that we're getting towards here. So accepting someone's alcoholism is not the same as accepting unacceptable behaviour, is it? And to be able to see someone else's unacceptable behaviour, say that to them that you won't be tolerating it, and at the same time having compassion for that person, and at the same time having compassion for yourself, and also being able to say that maybe your behaviour wasn't 100% is amazing. That's maturity, and it really eases the pain, doesn't it? And I mean, it shortens the pain. The pain of the conflict's still there. Rage feels painful after you've just done it, and it feels painful if you were on the receiving end of it. But you don't have to develop a 2-decade resentment or estrangement when you've got that kind of agility and flexibility that you just described around the whole situation. That's amazing. I recently went into a rage against an alcoholic in my family and immediately apologized for it, for the rage, but also stated, I won't be in your company anymore. Not because you're a horrible person, but because I can't manage my own rage if you say that stuff. So, And they were good with that, and that relationship's completely intact. Like that happened, and 2 days later, it's over because I made the amends. I've made the amends for the rage. I haven't. That doesn't mean that I was. It's all my fault. The rage was there. The rage was justifiable in some way to me. The level of rage was way out of proportion, actually. My indignation was natural and understandable, and also his behaviour was understandable and natural because he's a highly traumatised person. Of course he's going to annoy me, press my buttons or whatever. So, again, I think I had some of that agility around it too that you're describing, and that's such a gift.
Yes.
Tell me about some other gifts that you've had from your practice of the program.
Recognizing signs that it is time to make a change and making choices. I had my two daughters and they grew up in country Victoria. And they both left home, one to Melbourne, one to Adelaide. And so I had many trips away going in one direction or the other. And then my older daughter had a baby, my first grandchild. And I knew as I got older that that same trip would become harder and harder. So that was when I made the momentous decision to move to Melbourne. I had also just started university. I'd been doing online bachelor course, and placement was coming up. And so the move to Melbourne was very beneficial for me in more ways than one. I knew that living in country Victoria without any family around me would not benefit me as I grew older, even though I was surrounded by really good friends and all that familiarity. But I needed to be closer to my first grandchild. And and even making the choice to go to university in when I was 60 for the first time in my life. And I absolutely thrived in that environment, did really, really well. But I knew that I couldn't stay in country Victoria if I was going to get a good placement, and more than one placement would have been needed. So I moved to Melbourne, and with a good relationship with my older daughter and watching my grandchild grow up. We live 5 minutes from each other. But I also recognised that she was an adult child of an alcoholic who was her father, mm-hmm. who actually died from this disease, died alone. And it was a tragic sudden death. But she, even though I had been in Al-Anon, we were a 12-step family. Mm-hmm. They grew up understanding those principles, and we travelled a lot. It takes two parents, and the influence of that alcoholism came through to her. And both parents affect the children, even absent parents. And I was a single parent for many years, but I could not change the fact that his behaviour and attitude affected my children. And I was kept at arm's length from my daughter and her family, and when she repartnered. And that was a source of great pain for me. But I worked hard on accepting her and the family, having compassion and understanding for them, not being demanding. I kept myself distracted and busy. I finished my university degree with distinction, so I did well there. Very, very proud of myself. Absolutely loved it. Got a new job in my 60s. But one day I suddenly knew that after 8 years, nothing had changed with the relationship with my daughter. As loving as it was when I was there, I was still kept at arm's length. And one of my youngest sister of the group died suddenly from an undiagnosed medical condition. And I knew one day it came to me, I knew that I had to make a change. I wanted to live closer to my sister in Adelaide. And the bonus was that I had another daughter in Adelaide. So I started that process. I was fearful of telling my daughter, but someone said to me, another member said, well, just tell her you're thinking about it.
Fearful of telling the daughter that you were moving away from?
In Melbourne, that I was going to move away. Because me, with being perfect and black and white, I had to say, I'm doing this. I'm doing it so-and-so date, and this is how I'm going to do it. But a friend said, just say you're thinking about it. And that then started the process of understanding that I was making a choice for myself. There's a tool and a concept called the three A's: awareness, acceptance, and action. And I became aware, and I accepted that I needed to make a change, and I needed to think about how I was going to make that change. And then over time, I decided that, yep, that's the right action for me to take, and I will start that taking that action on a day when I feel that it's right. So everything fell into place. I knew that there were no roadblocks along the way. I found the right place for me to live, which is halfway between my sister at one side of the city and my daughter on the other side. And it all went ahead, and I started a new life. My daughter has since had her first baby, which is a great joy. I did have that thought in the back of my mind when I moved here, but never spoke that out loud. I didn't want to put any pressure on her. And over time, it happened. And she's such a gift to all of us. And I have maintained a loving relationship with my Melbourne family as well. And I still attend my Melbourne meetings on Zoom.
Okay.
I still have regular contact with my Melbourne friends, whom I love deeply and dearly. And I love living in Adelaide. So I'm the person I am today is unrecognisable from the person I was when I came in.
Well, that is all we've got time for, Di. So thank you so much for telling a story of great courage, because there was great pain in that story, and to hear the courage, the willingness to change, the big changes that you've made, and the maintenance of that attitude of gratitude in the face of it all. It's been quite an inspiration to listen to you.
Oh, thank you, Anne. I feel emotional. It's lovely to see you again.
Yes, and we met during the pandemic, didn't we, when everyone's meeting everyone else on Zoom.
Yes.
On huge meetings, 90 people from all over the world.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay, if you're concerned about drinking and a relative or friend and would like to find out more about Al-Anon, you can contact them on 1-300-252-666 or go to alanon.org.au. If you're concerned about your own drinking, you can contact AA on 1-300-222-222 or go online at aa.org.au. If there is anything else, other questions that have been raised for you or caused distress, please call Lifeline on 13 11 14 or visit lifeline.org.au. If it is domestic violence, family violence, sexual violence, please call 1-800-RESPECT, 1-800-737-732, or go to 1-800-RESPECT.org.au. Coming up next, we have Balanwar, the Spirit of Wa, hosted by Uncle Taljum Choco Edwards. Join Uncle Choco on a journey of belonging and movement through sing-alongs and yarns. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and stay tuned now for more Radical Radio on 3CR.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.